Hello and welcome to St Andrew's and All Saints Contemporary Worship Online. My name's Reverend Peter Myers. I'm the curate here at St Andrew's and All Saints, and I'm going to be leading the service this morning. So a very warm welcome to you all. Now, today is very, very special. And the reason for that, if you're listening to this service on Sunday, is for the first time in many months, members of our church community are gathering in person to worship God. And they're doing that up at All Saints this morning at 10 o'clock. And we are thrilled that at last we can start opening our churches and tentatively beginning to gather once again. Now, if you're listening to this, it's because you can't gather or aren't able to gather. But we give thanks that there are a small group of people, there's certainly no more than 30, are able to gather on our behalf. We're one body, aren't we? And it is wonderful that they can gather on our behalf to worship the Lord. And so we bless all of you who are up there and all of them as they worship together, which is absolutely fantastic. Now, let me start the service by reading something from Matthew 5. This is the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says this to his listeners, and he says it to you and I. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Well, if you listened to last week's sermon, I was talking about let us live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, let our lights shine. Jesus that dwells within us, let us shine so that the world may see and know the Lord. Well, today we're continuing our series on Philippians, and Barry is going to come and teach later. And the theme is to keep on shining. Keep on shining. Keep on living a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, let me pray, and then we'll sing our first song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. So, Lord Heavenly Father, thank you for those that are gathering in person at All Saints today. And Lord, thank you for our time together online. Thank you that you are with us wherever we are, on our own, gathered with others, in home or wherever we're listening. You are with us, and may we encounter you in our singing, in our worship, in our prayers, and in sharing of the word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you can, if you'd like to, let us stand and sing, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Shine, Jesus, shine. Now, children, I don't know whether you particularly are familiar with the fact that why shine, Jesus, shine? Well, Jesus was called the light of the world. He shines hope. He shines life. He shines goodness. He shines God's nature into the world. And he dwells in us if we know him. And as a result, he calls us, as I said in that scripture at the beginning of the service, we are his lights in the world to represent Jesus in the world and to share that light with others. But I wonder how there are certain times when we can't shine quite so brightly. And the reason we can't shine so brightly, or one of the reasons, is often where we muck up, we get things wrong, we do things that God would prefer us not to do. We sin, is what the Bible calls it. But that sin makes us separate from God. And so if we're doing lots of wrong things, then that covers us in mud, for want of a better phrase, muck, and dims our ability to shine brightly as ambassadors of Christ in the world. But to wash that muck off, we can confess and come back to Jesus and say sorry for what we've done. And so that's what we're going to do now. And I'm going to read some confession that I hope in your hearts you will join in with me. And after each sentence, I'm going to say, Lord, be merciful, And then if you could repeat, forgive us our sins. So I'll say, Lord, be merciful. And you repeat, forgive us our sins. So let's for a moment remember that all of us have got things wrong this week. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And this is a wonderful opportunity to know with confidence that we come before Christ to confess our sins. So, Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. We have willfully misused your gifts of creation. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. We have seen the ill treatment of others and have not gone to their aid. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. We have condoned evil and dishonesty and failed to strive for justice. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. We have heard the good news of Christ, but have failed to share it with others. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. We have not loved you with all our hearts, nor our neighbours as ourselves. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. And so let me declare the absolution over us all. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins. And make us holy to serve him in the world through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And having confessed our sins, we are washed of the muck of this week and we can shine even more brightly as we go into the world. Barry will talk more of that in a moment. But before we go into our next time of worship, the children are going to go out if they're going to their resources that are on the website if you want to use those. But also we've got this week the third of our video stories, which various people have been doing. I hope you saw last week and the week before, Jenny and Ruth did the most amazing job doing that. And this week, my wife Emma is leading or doing the story. Now, very appropriately, many of you know that I was in the Navy for many years. So Ems is doing a story that involves some water, involves a boat, and involves a miracle. So I wonder what that story is. But that's on the website and you can watch that. So enjoy. But the rest of us, we're going to continue in worship. So let's lift our hearts and fix our eyes on the Lord in song.
The reading is from Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfil his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you, and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honour people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm going to start this morning by asking you all a question. It's a very simple question, but it throws up a whole raft of other questions in a way. And it's this. Are you successful? Are you a successful person? Just hold on to that answer or that question for the moment and we'll return to it later. In the meantime, we are looking at Paul's letter to the Philippians. And if you remember, it's a wonderful pastoral letter written to the early Christian church, or followers of the way as they were called then. And he's telling them that they need to be serving not Caesar, but a new king, King Jesus. And Peter, our curate, shared last week how as citizens of heaven we should try and imitate Jesus and act like people of faith. So this week we're going to continue that story and that theme. And like Peter did last week, I'm going to try and show some of the ways in which we might act as people of faith in our everyday lives. Now the chapter is headed, Keep On Shining. And the section we start with is entitled, Do Everything Without Grumbling or Arguing. So when I was given this reading, I thought, oh, blimey, really? Oh, if only I could have had something from Ephesians, that would have been so much easier. Joke. But you see how easy it is to slip into that kind of mode of groan, moan, and so forth. But fortunately, my being somebody who's never moaned or groaned or... I think if you talk to Deb, you'd find the truth about that. But here's the thing. In the sentence that we've had in our reading, it talks about do everything without grumbling or arguing. And it's the word do, which in Greek adds emphasis. It's a word that means no exceptions, do everything. And the next bit is the key, which is so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And that's the passage I want to focus on today. And in fact, one word in a way, you or me. Do I want to be blameless and pure, a child of God without fault? And it links back to the first question about being successful, which I'll get to in a moment. Now, the message talks about a slightly different phrase. It says, do you want to be a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society? Wow, quite strong language is being used, isn't it? And is it true today? Do we live in a warped and crooked generation, a squalid and polluted society? Well, Paul clearly thought so about Philippi in the first century. And he wanted the followers of Jesus to be these shining lights. And he quotes from the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, in which he says this, men and women who have lived wisely and well will shine brilliantly like the cloudless, star-strewn night skies, and those who put others on the right path to life will glow like stars forever. That's from the message. So, talking about people being bright lights, throwing light and wisdom onto God's laws. So it's not just about throwing God's light onto the polluted and warped and squalid society, but about becoming a beacon of life, a beacon of hope, like a lighthouse beam, as it were, pointing the way to God's new life in a world that was then, and I would argue is still now, desperately looking for meaning. So we need to ask ourselves the question, what does that mean for me today? In Malvern or wherever we're living when we're watching this. Do you want to be a child of God without fault? Do you want to shine like a star as you carry this life-bearing message? And notice it's you, not him, not her, not them, you, not the church, you, not the vicar, you, not the Archbishop of Canterbury, you, not Eddie, Peter, PCC, you and me. And that's a challenge, isn't it? Because how do we equip ourselves for this? Sermons, are they great opportunities for learning? Well, hopefully they are. But do you know, I have to admit, sometimes I get irritated where a preacher's just given a wonderful exposition, a sound theological description of the passage, a wonderful and well-argued case for explaining Jesus, and then he or she will say, go to your front lines and do likewise. And I'm like, how? How do I do that? I can't remember all those fine words, those crafted arguments. And if I could, when I meet somebody like my brother, for example, who in the middle of an attempt to explain, I was trying to explain the significance of Jesus in his life, and he said, aha! He said, aha! But did Adam have a belly button? And I'm immediately floored, and I'm like, what? Sorry? A belly button? Or on the hills, talking to a friend, a very intelligent and active atheist, who he quotes accurately the Old Testament to me. I mean, really, he knows far more about the Old Testament than I do. And he quotes texts, and then he uses them to say how the church has used the Bible to justify slavery, subjugation of women, and subjugation of indigenous peoples, explains and justifies wealth and so forth. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And also, and again, I'm being really honest and maybe vulnerable here when I say, well, sometimes I find myself diminished in the presence of other really beautiful and active Christians who are ablaze with faith and God-given light, and they tell you about the visions they've had before breakfast and the hours they've spent with the Lord, which seem like minutes, and the prayers that go on for hours but last, I don't know, it's not like, oh. And God will always find them a parking space when they ask, and I'm like, oh. If only that could be me. And here's the thing, you see, I really do want to tell people about Jesus. I do, he's wonderful. And he's changed my life, he's shaped my life, and I've made long-lasting Christian friends and have been affected and enthused by the Holy Spirit. When I was ill, I thought I might die. I found a strength that I didn't know before I had came from God. And I could go on. Oh, do you see? I've just evangelized about my faith. My faith. Not yours. My faith. And no clever words, but a bit about my story, my testimony, my life. And so things like, did Adam have a belly button? Well, you know, the argument goes, if he was created by God, he wasn't born from a natural mother, so he wouldn't have had a belly button, where the umbilical cord goes. Huh. Yeah, I don't care. I really don't care. I don't know. But I do know the difference Jesus has made in my life. Did, and maybe does the church still, or Christians, some Christians, misuse the Bible to justify things that are wrong? Well, I'm sure they do. But I do know the wonderful things that our church and my church friends have done in my life here in Malvern and in my family. Shining lights. Does my prayer life match up to those of supercharged Christians? We see them often on YouTube or God Channel. No, it doesn't. But I know that my few times of sensing Jesus in my life, my being directed by God at critical times in my life, my pictures that I've had for people are real. And it's my light that I'm trying to shine out from Jesus that is what we're talking about here, however bright or dim that may be. And as for parking spaces, you know, I don't pray for that. But, you know, the other day I was in London with Rosie and Rob, my daughter and son-in-law, and Otis, our grandson. And we were driving around near Hackney Marshes, trying to find somewhere to park, because we wanted to go for a little walk by the river, which is actually quite nice, lovely, it's a little river, River Lee. And we were on the edge of the Olympic Park, which is vast, just desperate trying to find somewhere to park. The main car park was closed because of the COVID regulations. Why one car, park a car, I don't know. But anyhow, that was all locked and chained up. And every street we went into was residents-only parking. And I drove actually down a cul-de-sac in the middle of the Olympic Village thinking, oh, Lord. Got to the other river thinking, oh, I am lost. And it is so frustrating. We want lunch and we just can't find anywhere to stop. And I remember thinking, I'm not going to pray for a parking space. I'm not. I say to God, I'm not. And then I turned around and there was this multi-storey car park, which had actually been converted to a food bank. and it was closed. But I saw this sign saying, you know, closed to the public. And this bloke said, yeah, go on up, he said. And I drove through the barrier, even though it said it was closed to the public. And there it was, an empty multi-storey car park, free. And I think that's my testimony of God's provision, but also his sense of humour in that situation. And before we just return to that question about being successful, just briefly, verses 19 to 25 in the reading, Paul highlights two people, Timothy and Epaphroditus. Yeah, I pronounced that right, Epaphroditus. He quotes them as living, breathing examples of Jesus. Enthusiastic. Timothy concerned more for others than himself, and Epaphroditus as someone who risks his very life for the sake of the gospel. Living, breathing examples of people who shine like stars in a corrupt world. And now I'm going to conclude this by returning to the question I started with, which is, am I successful? Because the answer matters. It really does. When we're trying to shine like a light for Jesus. So when I ask the question, are you successful? You may have fallen into one of several sort of thought processes. I mean, imagine a school report, for example. The subject, worldly wealth. You know, am I successful? In a worldly sense. Well, in a world that sometimes is warped and squalid, success is often measured by the stuff we have. How big is your car? How big is your house? The quality of your holidays, where you shop? How much money do you have? How do you dress? And by those standards, you know, I don't feel massively successful because I'm always comparing myself with people who have more, and we're bombarded everywhere with images of people with more stuff than we'll ever have. Despite the fact, and the real fact, and it is a fact, that the majority of us are in the top 10 or 5% of the wealthiest people in the world. But I still feel on my report it would be like, could do better. How about the spiritual world, our Christian life? What would our report read there? Ooh. Could do better, I'm sure. Am I a successful Christian, however you define that? My prayer life. My Bible reading practices. My evangelistic prowess. Healing of the sick. Even by spiritual standards, I end up thinking, could do better. And I'm tempted, again, if I'm being honest, to leave it to the experts. You know, he or she is a vicar. That's their job. And can you see that by two really different and almost like opposing standards, we can still feel a bit diminished and unsuccessful in both of those things. I failed, and in a spiritual sense, my light becomes dimmer, at least in my eyes, as a result. But it's into this context of a sort of real physical world with the spiritual aspects to it that we have to shine our lights. You have to shine your light in this world. And here's the pivot point in the sense of this talk. And if you remember anything, which would be a blessing in itself, remember this one thing, this one question. Are you successful? And I read a book by Tim Hughes, the worship leader, recently. And he raised this question. And he said, somebody had quoted it to him, I am successful because I love God and he loves me. I am successful because I love God and he loves me. Such a beautiful and simple phrase. I love God. I love Jesus. And he loves me. And on that measure, and is there a more important measure in the entire universe, I'd ask. By that measure, I am successful. Because I've always felt it, a deep down sense ever since I became a Christian that Jesus loves me. I've never doubted that. And I love him, and I've never had a problem in admitting that. And I've never hidden the fact that I believe in Jesus. When I worked, I even wore a fish badge. Hey, How much more evangelical can you be? Ironically, I got more flack from other Christians than anybody else for wearing it. But at work, for example, if anybody ever asked me, did I have a good weekend? You know, I'd usually say what I'd done, but I also included the fact that I'd been to church. I never hid the fact that I'd been to church. I tried not to grumble or argue. I tried to be as enthusiastic about life as I could be. I tried not to be judgmental. And I was always ready and able to talk about my faith, using my language and my terms. I tried to be kind, and our passage talks about sending Timothy, who was a pastorally hearted man. And many people in St Andrews and All Saints are clearly very pastoral, and that's one of the beautiful things about our church, one of its great achievements, its warmth, its kindness, its generosity. And if you exude those characteristics, people come and talk to you. They do. They do. And when I was, again, at work, and maybe in recent years, people have come to myself or Deb and I to talk about their pastoral issues. And it didn't seem that I needed to try and force the conversation around to God, because people seem to be naturally interested when they're not defensive. So, and just one anecdote, and I will be finishing in a moment. I remember the chief executive rang me once, or his PA rang me and said, he wants to see you immediately. And I thought, oh, that sounds a bit worrying. What have I done now, you know? Rare demand, but I must have overstepped the mark somewhere. So I arrived and he said, come in, Barry. He said, close the door. And I thought, oh my goodness, it's worse than I thought. And he said, sit down. And I thought, oh, it's getting, you know, this is it. This is the big heave-ho. And he looked at me and he said, I believe in God, you know. And he opened up into this conversation about issues in his life. And it was just truly kind of amazing. I didn't ask to speak to him about it, but he just wanted to open up and share. And many instances where non-judgmental, enthusiastic, kind, openly a believer will lead us to genuine inquiries, a genuine interest. No belly button questions, no attempts to outwit us or out-argue us for its own sake. And several times in my life, many times in fact, it's, and often the most unexpected ways, it seemed to be the most natural thing to say to a hurting person, can I pray for you? And then his little word, it's Jesus is there saying, now. I've often said, can I pray for you now? And I don't think I've ever been refused. And it's hugely faith-lifting to say, can I pray for you? And somebody says, yes, please. And so I'd encourage you in your own way, you be a shining light in your environment, using your language on your front line to your family. But only do that when you know you are loved by Jesus and you love him. That is success. Amen. And by way of kind of response, if you like, we've got a wonderful song coming up, which I would just ask you to be open to embrace the words or the music or join in. It doesn't matter. We're kind of, it's about you and about your relationship with Jesus. Just allow the words to minister to you and hear what God has to say in your life.
Who am I that the heart? Let's join in prayer together, shall we? Let's pray. In Philippians 4, we're encouraged not to fret or worry. Instead of worrying, it says, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. So it's with confidence, Lord, that we come to you this morning with our prayers and petitions. Thank you for your loving, strengthening presence through another week, even though the weight of COVID-19 is still heavily upon us. And yet hope has come midweek with the news that the Oxford scientists have reached a milestone in the production of a vaccine to combat this terrible disease. And we pray for continued progress in this research and for all those who are involved in it, in Oxford and in other projects. And may it bring a sense of relief to us all. However, we remember many who still are locked in fear and isolation, restricted in movement and work. Remember those in localised areas such as Leicester and now Blackburn, and even closer to home in Maithen. We pray that wisdom will be given to those who have to control the events there. We're going to pray for our community now. So come with me for a short stroll around our town. Down your street, first of all, past the houses and gardens, thinking of your neighbours and their needs. Lord, we pray. Lord, we pray your blessing. Let's carry on along Church Street and Barnard's Green and down into the Link. We pray for shops and businesses slowly reopening and hoping to attract customers to increase sales and get back into routine. Let's linger outside boarded up premises. What does that imply? What's going on in those families and groups? Lord, bring help in those situations. We continue on past the residential homes of our town, Hastings, Court Road and others. Lord, may your blessing rest on all the residents and those who care for them. May they know your help, support and provision in the difficult tasks that they still face. We skirt round Malvern Theatres in a state, not knowing whether it can open or not, and we pray for the organisation there, Lord, that they will know your prosperity and peace and able to reopen shortly. Now I'm walking past Malvern Youth Centre and The Cube and was reminded last night on television that nationally, according to youth workers, an incredible number of 300,000 vulnerable young people have gone off the radar during this pandemic while gangs have abducted and lured them into life of crime, violence, drugs and sexual exploitation. We pray for those, Lord, trapped in this sort of lifestyle and ask that they will be rescued. And lastly, we stand outside the restaurants and Chinese takeaways, and that reminds us that our government is involved in difficult negotiations and situations abroad, particularly in China and in Hong Kong. And we pray that wisdom will prevail and diplomacy will bring satisfactory outcomes. Lord, as a nation, as a community, as a people, may we be people of love and hospitality, faithfulness and contentment. May we please you in our worship and in our serving and our giving. May we be generous of heart as we seek to bring in your kingdom here in Malvern, in our nation and in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we're going to say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We're going to join together in worship again now by singing a song called You Are Good, which is a great reminder that God's love knows no bounds and his goodness knows no limits. So let's all sing together.
Of our service this morning, singing that amazing song, Lord, you are good. Your goodness is boundless. Isn't it good to remember and dwell and finish declaring you are good? Thank you, Barry, for your sermon and helping us to remember to keep on shining as we go into this new week. And thank you for everybody who's helped put the service together this morning, and particularly to Derek's son David, who has been editing this week whilst Derek and Carol rightly have a wonderful break and time away. So thank you, David, for doing that. Just to finalise with some notices, there's the weekly mail out that has gone out, lots of information on that, and the information will be on the website as well. But just a reminder, the glorious news that the church has been opened today, that people have gathered to worship God at All Saints. And that's going to continue in the coming weeks. So there's just going to be the one online contemporary service in the shape that we've had this morning. We will try and record the service at All Saints, and that will go up on the website, hopefully later on the Sunday of that week or the Monday. But hopefully there'll be two recorded options, but the traditional will be later. So let me finish with a blessing and a prayer. Lord, thank you for your call to keep on shining, that you are the light of the world who dwells within us so that we can shine brightly. Help us to do that as we go into this coming week. And may I declare the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now and always. Amen. Bless you, have a wonderful week, and I will see you next time.